Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm so delighted to be here with you once again. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening for another Hot Topics. I am really looking forward to this show tonight, Val. I'm excited about our guest and, you know, what he's here to share with us. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, I'm so excited. I had the opportunity to meet him a couple of weeks ago at Les Brown's Training Institute. He's started a new work here in Fort Lauderdale, and I had a chance to meet Donovan Darius, and he's going to talk to us about leaving a legacy tonight. You know, legacy is so important. A legacy is not what's left tomorrow when you're gone. It's what you give, create, impact, and contribute for today that will live on for tomorrow. And Donovan is going to share with us some very important information tonight about leaving a legacy, and I'm so delighted to have Donovan on. Donovan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, as I said, I had an opportunity of meeting you a couple of weeks ago, and you had the opportunity to speak at Les Brown's Training Institute. We had our opening for the founding members, and you, well, actually, Eric Stoller asked me to introduce you along with Matt Wanham, who is the president, and they are the CEO of Les Brown's Training Institute. So it was just a delight, and you were very charismatic, and I was so impressed with the fact that you had played in the NFL, and then you have started your speaking career as a coach. Can you share a little bit of your story with us?
Oh, most definitely. And again, as I mentioned, thank you guys for having me. It is an honor for me to, you know, to share into this forum and to all the listeners out there. Yes, I grew up in New Jersey, in Camden. And in Camden, it was one of those situations where when you looked around, you didn't really see a lot of positive and hope. And you saw a lot of things from violence and drugs. And oftentimes, every single day that I woke up and every day I walked out my house, I had to make a decision on what my life was going to be. And so for me to stay focused and have myself have a system around me of people, of influencers, and dream makers, they actually helped me believe in myself and go on to get a college scholarship. And then from there, go on to get drafted in the NFL, where, as I shared at the Les Brown event, that most memorable day was when I was sitting in Delran, New Jersey, waiting for that call from the NFL, not knowing what was going to happen, where I was going to go, feeling stress, feeling pressure, wondering if I did enough, if I said the right things, if I, you know, did anything, is this the day for me? And sitting in that car and having my brother out of nowhere just come and knock on the window and tell me that the team of my dreams was on the phone, Jacksonville. And so that was so amazing to be able to get that call, to run up steps, see everybody in the house just kind of part like the Red Sea, and my mom holding the phone on one end, and on the other line was the head coach from the Jaguars, and said, Donovan, would you like to be a Jaguar? And so everybody in the house screamed, yelled, tears, excitement, and we all watched as the commissioner walked across the stage and announced to the whole world that with the 25th pick of the 1998 draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars selected Donovan Darius from Syracuse. And so everybody was amazed, crying, as I mentioned. But in that moment, Dr. Val, in that moment, out of all the things, I didn't think about how much money I was going to make. I didn't think about what kind of car I was going to have. I didn't think about what type of home I was going to do. I thought about the word purpose. And it meant to me at that moment that everything I went through had a purpose. All the struggle I went through had a purpose to bring me up to there. All the times I was rejected, all the times somebody put me down, all the times we didn't have electricity, we didn't have food, all the times that we went through struggle, there was a purpose to it. It kept me hungry. It kept me driving. It kept me focused. And now here was an opportunity. It all had a purpose. And so, again, that was one of the most astounding things for me. And so I was fortunate, Ms. Val, Dr. Val, to play 10 years in the NFL where I brought that purpose and try to deliver it in every way I can, and it's brought me to where we are today.
Well, you know, it's amazing how you give the analogy of when you ran in the house, it was like parting of the Red Sea, and I could imagine. I've seen the Ten Commandments several times with Charlton Heston when he stands up, he says, "Here I am, part of sea." It's like the sea just parts, and then there's the dry land walking by. And it's just amazing that you use that analogy, because when there's water, there's turbulence. And yeah, on both sides, the water was still ruffling. And so how you say it was like the promised land almost, when you got that call, but how hard was it, you know, actually getting there, the opposition? Because, like I said, that sea parted, but you still saw those fish jumping around and the waves were still rumbling. And I know it was hard. It wasn't as easy as just getting a phone call, because people think, okay, you get that phone call and then all of a sudden everything is great, everything is dandy, you have it made. Talk about the struggle.
Oh, man, and you mentioned it. And so one of the things that I want everybody to remember is that everything in life has a purpose, and there's a purpose to everything. And so I think about many times that I've rode a plane. I've taken a trip on a plane. As I'm on that plane, and that plane was on a runway, that plane is running down the runway, and the wind that is against that plane makes it feel like it's never going to take off. That wind makes it seem like the plane is going to fall apart. And oftentimes you can find yourself holding on a seatbelt that much harder because the wind, the adversity that's against you, seemed like it was so tough that there's no way in the world that I can fly. There's no way that this wind that's coming against me is going to be able to lift this heavy plane into the air to take me to my destination. Well, so is the same thing in life. The adversity that I went through in life growing up in a single-parent home, had my mother having five kids by the age of 23, we going through being on welfare, and sometimes our electricity wasn't on. I would come home sometimes just to flick the switch to see if our electricity was on. At different times, I look in the refrigerator, and there was nothing there. I looked in the freezer. There was just an ice cube tray, and half of it was filled up. And so all the things that we went through, I went through family times. We lived in two domestic violence shelters. Mom and Dad used to fight. And so going through that situation that we went through where we didn't have what we didn't have, what it did, that there was a purpose to it. It was a purpose to us having a car that didn't always work. It was a purpose to us understanding that we could not have cable TV. We had to read. You know, my mom had us reading. There was a purpose to us going outside and playing versus sitting in the house having the luxury of video games. And so it's just like the plane when it's taken off with that wind, and it's that adversity. It's that same wind. It's that same adversity that when that plane takes off, it takes it to a destination. And so when you look at life, you realize that the wind that feels like it's resisting it so much is actually the ticket, is actually the vehicle, the medium to take it to its destination. And so now when I look at my life, and I'm going through some type of turmoil, and I'm going through some type of resistance, I don't get down and saddened. I actually get excited because I realize my ticket is here. The very fact that it is there, the very fact that I feel adversity, the very fact that I feel the resistance is indication that my ticket is here to take me to my destination. And so I get a chance to look at life through that perspective, and I get a chance to share that because perspective is everything. I think about as we look through life, and sometimes I call it the blimp view of life. You know, we all seen parades, and sometimes one of the biggest parades is the New Year parade, and you can imagine people seeing the floats, and they're on the ground level, and you look to the left, and you look to the right, and you can't see the beginning of that parade, and you can't see the end of it. The sounds are really loud, and the cymbals and the costumes, and that's how it is sometimes when we go through different seasons of our lives, when it's tough, when it's hard. We look to the left, we don't know when it's going to start. We don't look to the right, we don't know when it's going to end. Everything seems to be magnified, the volume and the intensity of the pain, the pressure, the disappointment, the frustration, the regret. But if you look at that same parade from a blimp, 30,000 miles in the air, you'll notice that that parade, that adversity, that situation is really so small. You'll see that it has a beginning and it has an end. You'll see that it's also moving, and it's moving through one place to the other, which also can remind us and encourage us that everything we're going through is moving, and this too will pass if we just bear along, if we just hold on to what we're going through these seasons. Always remember this, that life is seasons. No matter how cold it is in the wintertime, no matter how dry it is, springtime always comes, always. So you don't throw away your clothes and the summer clothes because it's cold or it's dry. You just wait out that season, and you do what you need to do in that season. So I'm grateful, Dr. Val and Dr. Michelle, I'm grateful for every situation that I've been through, because through the eyes of purpose, I can see how it built me and it developed me into the person that I am and the one that I'm becoming.
Well, you're an awesome young man indeed, and I thank you and I applaud the courage, because we have so many individuals that have opposition that give up in the midst of the fight. I know I was in church one day, and my pastor, Bishop Henry Fernandez, was talking, and he was giving an analogy about walking across the Brooklyn Bridge and how his sister told him, "I'm going to walk all the way across that bridge." And he was like, "Really?" And she was like, "Yes, I'm going to walk all the way across." But she walked halfway across the bridge and decided, "I'm not going to make it to the other end," and wanted to turn around and go back. Well, you were already halfway there. But if you just kept on, you would have kept your commitment, and finish the course. So I thank you for your courage in spite of the adversities and the distractions along the way with domestic violence. How did that affect you growing up in a domestic violence home? Because, you know, I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and I have two boys and two girls, and my third book, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities, I have two of my children talking about the oppositions that they faced that I didn't realize they faced being brought up in a domestic violence situation. So how was it for you?
Yeah, growing up in a situation like that, I truly believe that the experiences that we have, especially when we're young, they can really stamp an imprint on your heart. And the imprint it stamps on your heart, it can go one of two ways. One, you can use it, you know, as ammunition and as motivation to do better, or the other, it can actually hinder you, hurt you, and hold you back. And so for me, I understood seeing the situation between my mom and my dad and what was going on there. It motivated me to understand that I didn't want life to be like that for me. I wanted to have peace. I wanted to walk in peace. I understood that if any two people touch and agree, then anything is possible. So that way, at the end of the day, my focus was on in life, and even as I got older, understanding the importance of seeking peace with people and coming to a common ground with people, trying to find common purpose. And so I used those situations to really motivate me, for what I wanted to be in my home. I wanted to be the man that my children were proud to call dad. I wanted to be the husband that my wife would proud to be called king. Because at the end of the day, I only wanted the titles to what I was walking out. I only wanted the adoration or affection or the appreciation because of the things that they can feel and they can sense and that they can know and they can believe. And so I think about those things that I went through and how they really built into me, you know, a sense of appreciation so that I can shine. I often think about when I think through life and adversity we go through, I think about it, and everybody, every woman knows that, man, they say diamonds is a girl's best friend. But I think diamonds also have a tremendous value to let us know and relate to how we're all created as diamonds. Our situation, all our situations help to make us shine. You know, when you think about diamonds, and of course, my wife loves diamonds as well, I think about the four C's of diamonds, and I think about life and how they apply to us and what we go through. You know, every diamond, you know, is judged and valued based off of its cut. So that just means that diamonds are cut a certain way. And based off of the way it's cut and the amount of times it's cut, allows the light to really shine and bounce off itself so that way now the person who's viewing it can really see the brilliance of it. So I think about in life, how many times have we been cut? How many times have we been disappointed? How many people have told us they would do something, they turned around? How many people have done things to us? But guess what? For those that have been cut, those that have been let down, it's actually increasing your value. I think about the diamond and the clarity. Diamonds are value based off of the clarity. And in the diamond, the most brilliant and valuable diamond is not a red diamond, a white diamond. It's not a yellow diamond. It's a diamond that has no color at all. And so when I notice, when I can see life with no color, no black, no white, no Asian, no Chinese, no have not, when I can see it, when I walk with that and I live a life respecting all and valuing all, then the clarity of my heart shines more and it's a greater value. And then I think about the diamond as it pertains to, you know, the color of, I'm saying in terms of the carat, the heavier diamond is, the more valuable that diamond becomes. We all know that a woman will love a 3, 4, 5, 1, whatever carat diamond. And so how many of us, the more weight that we have on us, the weight and responsibility of our home as a parent, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a coworker, whatever it is, the weight that we feel like, man, at the end of the night, you just can't wait to lay down because the weight of the world is bearing you down. Well, guess what? The more weight you're bearing is showing forth your value. It's showing forth your brilliance. Because in my best book, it says that, man, that my creator would never put more on me or you than you can bear. So the very fact that you're going through whatever you're going through says that you can make it, you can take it, and you are built for it. And so, again, man, when I think about, like I said, the cut, the clarity, you know, the color, you know, and the carrot of it, it's amazing. It lets me know that everything I go through, I get to shine bright like a diamond. Not because of the absence of trouble and situations, but because the very presence that they're here, it lets me know that diamonds are made under pressure. Do you realize that diamond was just carbon, but because of the pressure, the weight and this mindset not to break, not to give up, that is from the depths of the earth that we value the most precious rock and stone. And that's the same thing with a lot of us. As we go through life and we decide not to give up, not to turn around, to keep pressing, to keep moving, ladies and gentlemen, I'll introduce to you the greatest diamond in the world. That's you.
Cool. Now, wonderful. You alluded to the fact that your wife, now being that you love exquisite things, because you broke down that diamond and talked about it, so I saw every cut, every brilliance of it shining through. How did you meet your queen?
Man, I tell you what, it's amazing the way that I met my wife. It was 4 years ago. I had been married first time when I got out of college. And we had three beautiful daughters together, my ex-wife, and I had met, and she had a son. And I raised my children, my family, everything. Well, I happened to, like a lot of people, go through a divorce. And during that time of me going through the divorce, I got a chance to discover myself. I got a chance to learn more about me. I got a chance to grow in different ways. I had a chance to take initiative in my life to feel like, you know, to get to the point of understanding me. And so I remember one day I said, you know what, I want to find who I am and enjoy the things that I want to do. And so one night on my first night, I said, I love to dance and I love to work out. So I went to the YMCA, and they had a Zumba class. And I never took Zumba before, but I said, you know what, Donovan, if you want to do something different, you know, you got to go ahead and take initiative. So I remember I looked in the window, and I looked around, and I seen the music and the different music, and everybody was in there dancing around, and I walked away. And I said, man, I'm going to go ahead and do this. So I walked back in the classroom, got in the back of the room, and I just said, you know what, I'm here. I'm going to have a good time. I'm only here to have fun and dance. Well, I got a chance to see this young lady in the front. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. It was grapevine, whatever they were doing, but she was moving fine. And I saw her in the front. So after the class was over, I said hi to the instructor. And lo and behold, who was waiting outside the door? My baby, Miss Allison. I walked over to her, and I was like, girl, you were doing your singing there. She was like, oh, it was just my alter ego. And I was like, well, whatever it is, you know, I love it. And so we got to talking, and I was like, do you and your friends go get something to eat after this? And this was like Friday night, like 7:30. She said, well, we do. I said, well, hey, would you like some company? And so we decided to go ahead and get showered up and get changed up and meet somewhere at 8:30. And, man, listen, I was that guy. I left the YMCA, never got her phone number, but I'm sitting outside the restaurant place just hoping and praying that this girl show up. I'm like, man, am I going to be that guy who has to go to every Zumba class from here on out just to find this young lady that I met? And so she walked up, man. She walked up, tapped me on my shoulder, and we sat and we talked, and it was from the moment I met her. I say that I had met her just that week or just a few days ago, but it was like my soul knew her forever. You know, we had an instant,
wow.
We had an instant connection. We sat there, we had sushi, man. We sat and ate and talked. And then after that, we said, hey, well, you like to go somewhere else? So we went over to a nice little lounge and sat and talked some more. And then we was like, hey, you like to dance? Yes. Well, we went out to a nice little club and lounge then. And, man, it was just perfect. And then I share this when I share with people. Until you are ready yourself for a mate, that mate may not come before you. And so I had to do the work on me first. I had to understand who Donovan was. I had to prepare myself and walk out my vision and my purpose. So now when I meet this queen who is created, developed to help with me and walk with me, that I'm here to give to her the gift of my life, that able to help build her up and help advance her where she's at. And so, again, it was one of those things that, man, it clicked. It was truly my dream had came true because I went and worked on the process in me. And then here we are now, basically three years later, I'm in love with her more now than I was the day that I met her. And so I tell her before, listen, I love you more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. So that's my sweetheart.
Oh,
Shirley, do you hear this,
beautiful
young man?
You know what? I'm sitting here. I'm in awe. I said, it is so wonderful to hear, you know, because so many young men, they get married right out of college, and if they go through a divorce and everything, they don't find love again. They run from it. They're fearful of it. Or they never really get to know who they are. And that's something that I say to a lot of young men that I speak with about, you know, life challenges and everything, is that when you come out of a relationship, your first thing you need to do is spend some time alone to get to know who you are. because so often you get in relationships and you lose yourself in them. And then you leave that relationship, whether it be divorce or breakup or whatever, and you go into another one. And yet still you wonder, why are you having problems connecting and trusting and really growing with each other? Because you still don't know who you are. And then to hear you say, I had four children, really, one she had, and then three daughters, and you speak of them in such a loving way, just by what you said. And then you went on to say that I got to know me. I spent some time with me. And then I met my queen, the woman that you're married to now. And you speak of her as this part of you that you love her so much, and you know you're going to love her even more tomorrow, that because you know who you are. You were able to accept who you are and love yourself first, so then you can give that love to someone else. And the way you describe your relationship, how you met, it's like you just met her, but you knew her in your soul from some other place, and so you two connected. I love the way you explain it. I love the way you talk about a diamond, because you give a new light to loving yourself. And the only way you could do that is you spent some time alone and you walked in your purpose. That is wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Donovan, how long was it in between that, your first marriage and to your second one? How long a gap was there?
There was basically 3 years. It was 3 years in mm-hmm. between. And I had, in my search for who I was, I had a revelation. And that revelation was that God had brought women in my life for three reasons. There were three reasons. Number one, the first class of women that he may have brought in my life was someone who had the skill set to help me with the vision. So I had a vision for what it was that I wanted to do in life. And this person came equipped with that, maybe some business skills, maybe with the college and had some degree and just something. Again, nothing romantic, but just a skill set. And they were here to help the vision. That was the one type of female that I may have met. The second one, the next one would be a person who I was supposed to just minister to. That means that I may talk to in terms of just a friend, or I work with their children in my camps and clinics or teaching, whatever it is. And so, again, there's nothing romantic there. It's just me walking out my purpose and ministering to them, ministering to a female and their family. But then there was a third one, and that third one was my wife. And this was a female who was compatible and created for me. This was a woman who had been traveled, who had discovered life on her own, who had an incredible amount of communication skills and life perspective and a spiritual base, a heart of service, a love for children, a love for the things, affectionate. That woman would be for me. And so what I realized through those 3 years was, before then, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that there was a reason why they were coming in my life. I didn't have that perspective until I went through that introspective phase and reflective phase. But then I was able to identify why I either made a mistake before or why things would happen. But now I knew whenever I met someone, I was able to say, okay, they're for here. They're here and they're here. But when I met my wife, and I think it was because I never met that third one. I never met my wife before. I never had that instant connection. So what I did was I was always settling, if you will, for someone that I was just serving. Well, we know how that is. You're loving someone so much, and then, again, they're not compatible to you, but you know how to love on them. And at the end of the day, you walk away feeling like you're empty, like you're missing something. And so for me, it was a discovery. Mm-hmm. So it was really understanding what are the reasons why. Who am I, number one? What do I like? What do I value? And then trusting the process by walking it out. And so I actually put on my wall at my house before I met my wife, I put on a big whiteboard. It says, Donovan, I do not seek relationship. I seek my purpose. And I had to put that up there as a reminder to me because I like companionship. But I realized that mm-hmm. I used to go from companionship straight to relationship instead of companionship to friendship to relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I had discovered things in my life that really helped move it along.
Those of you that just tuned in, I'm talking to Donovan Darius. He is a speaker, trainer, and life coach, and he played in the NFL for 10 years, nine of those being with Jacksonville Jaguars. We're talking tonight about leaving a legacy. So, Donovan, share with us your insights on legacy.
When I think of legacy, and I think someone may have mentioned it earlier, it's not so much something that's off in the future. It is a daily, mm-hmm. it's a daily decision.
Daily thing. Yes.
To make your and to maximize today. I believe that when you're looking at your life, you could be doing one of two things. You can be experiencing it or you can be observing it. And when you're experiencing it, you're walking it out based off of your values and what you believe. But when you're observing it, you're actually stopping to look at it. And so I believe that one of the reasons why we look at some of the greatest men and women who ever lived is because they decided not to stop and see how great they are and to stop and see how many people they got connected with or how many followers. What they made a decision to do is experience their life from the inside out. They looked at their values. They looked at their principles. They looked at the laws of life that at the end of the day that governed them. And they said, when I walk this out by living a life from the inside out, other people will be impacted from it, and then other people will be able to observe it. And so when I think about legacy, I think about having that mentality. It is living a life from the inside out. It is making an imprint, understanding that everybody was created with greatness and everybody was created equal, but some believe more. Some engage more. Some take more initiative. Some, overcome adversity. And so leaving a legacy has everything to do with how will someone remember you and or how does somebody observe you? When I think about even the word legacy, I think about the word respect. And when you look at what that word means, you know, spect means to look. Re means again. You actually want somebody to respect. You want them to look at you again and remember you for who you are and what you've done. And so I think one of the only ways that we can earn respect is that we're living a life that's worth looking at again. It's like you walking down the street and you see a fine gentleman. You know, you take a double look. Well, you do your husband. You take a double look. Nick, you look again. It's something about them that makes you look at them again. And I think leaving a legacy has everything to do with living a life intentionally where other people will observe what you're experiencing.
Now, you have a nonprofit, and you're also an author, philanthropist. So share with us about your nonprofit and how individuals can contribute or get involved.
Almost definitely. And so before I came back to Jacksonville, in 2011, I came back because I knew that this is where I was planted. Went all the way back to the purpose of when I got drafted, and there was the relationships and there were people that I was supposed to engage here. And so I started my foundation. It was called the Donovan Darius Foundation. And basically my mission is we basically partner with other organizations and nonprofits to host what I call life camps. And at these life camps, we promote and develop individuals and life skills and get them connected with organizations that they need, that serve their family. And so since 2011, mm-hmm. I've hosted 21 life camps. We've had over 5,100 participants. These are children, boys, girls, parents. And so we've had 2,900 girls who have participated. We've had 1,800 boys, 900 parents, because I truly believe that the family will only go as far as the parents a lot of times can take them. And so we have been making an imprint over the last 5 years in this foundation into this community, and people can go to the website and see what we've done and how they can get involved at DonovanDariusFoundation.com. And, again, it's just one of those things when we talk about purpose and leaving a legacy. This is leaving a legacy because we're allowing people to discover their purpose and maximize their potential.
And I like the way you're doing it, because a lot of times you have these foundations that give events but don't give them nothing for the inside, nothing to make their minds think and forge their destiny. It's just a right now fix. So I thank you so much for setting it up where that they can have long-term goals.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I think beyond the experience, one of the greatest things that I love about the component about what we do is that by partnering with other nonprofits in the community, I call them and develop what I call my community impact team. And that's organizations that serves families in other areas of their life, whether from early childhood learning to, you know, to health, to nutrition, to domestic violence, to substance abuse, to teen, to parenting, you name it. At my last life camp in December that I had, December 17th, I had over 20 organizations there. And they were all there. They talked to all the families to let them know what they provide, the services that they need and that they could provide. And getting these families connected to these organizations, which was so key. And so, again, understanding that, hey, I can go faster by myself, but I can go further with other people, lets me know that it's important to collaborate. It's important to partner up. It's important to touch and agree for the common goal. And so it's been a blessing. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to utilize the platform that has been given me, but then also just utilize the gifts and talents that we've all been given to really leave a legacy and make an impact.
Yeah, that's from my foundation, The Soul of a Woman. It deals with personal development as well. I don't believe in just giving an event and not giving anybody some tools to work with, because one thing I know for sure is domestic violence exists because people have no idea who they are. And when they don't know who they are, they're frustrated, and they take that out on their partner that they're supposed to love. And when you get stuck in life and have no idea where you're going, that builds up rage and anxiety. So my foundation is about reaching hearts and empowering lives, and the only way you can do it is through personal development.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, you know, I think we were created and we were made to develop. You know, a baby, at the end of the day, inside of it has all the potential to be great, but it has to go through a process. And so it is that process and that environment that he or she finds themselves in that helps them to grow. And I've seen that. That's why with my children, I was intentional on reading to them at night. I was intentional on speaking life into their life. I was intentional on working with them in their academics and athletics. I mean, to now my oldest daughter, 18, and she goes to Alabama. She's a, you know, on track, full track scholarships, great in school, great athletic. My 16-year-old daughter, she's like all honors and everything, athletic. And my 14-year-old daughter, she's Dominique. She got invited to the Nike Elite Youth Basketball League, and she's doing all A's in school and everything. And colleges are sending her letters and everything. And so it's one of those things that the environment that is set has so much to do with how well you're developed and how what you do. Think about this. Think about you having a tough day at work, or think about you having a good day at work. You had a great, you know, everything happened the way you wanted to do. And then you come home and you walk in the house and there's this smell in the house. The dishes aren't done. Things are on the floor. Clothes are left out. The husband didn't take out the trash. You had a great day all day, But that environment right there, it just brought you down. But so is the same thing on the other side. You can have a bad day, or you can have a tough day, a day of challenges and adversity, and you come home to a home that is clean. You know, it's a nice breeze going through. You set a couple candles. You get yourself some coffee or tea, whatever you like, and you just sit back and relax. That environment has an opportunity to do something in you and through you. And so understanding that principle, man, what is our environment like? Who's around us? Our association can determine a lot about our destination. Who's setting our environment around us? What are we listening to? What are we thinking about? Because at the end of the day, what goes in will come out.
Awesome.
That is so true. I just want to say that is so true. The environment dictates a lot in people's lives. It controls a lot in their lives and things. And it's important that we do stay cognizant of these things in order to have a healthy mind. Because if you, like you said, it depends on what, you know, your day could be good or bad. But when you come home, that home environment can dictate a lot on how you're going to function the next day or the rest of the day or that night. If you can sleep in that environment. So I have a question about your camp. You talk about the camp and coming together with all the different organizations. Is it a week-long camp? Is it a three-day or two-day? Is it a weekend camp? How is it structured?
Yes, so typically every year we will hold about 5 to 7 life camps. And in these camps we will have one for mothers and children, another one for fathers and children, another one for girls only, another one for boys only, another one for family. And these life camps will be a half a day. And they'll be packed with education, information, and motivation in the first half. And in the second half, we'll be outside on the fields doing competitions and races and family different activities. The organizations and the curriculum that we set forth in the first half of the day may deal with financial literacy, workplace readiness, communications, entrepreneurship, health and nutrition, communication, parenting, and beyond the life camp, those organizations that are efficient in these areas, they'll then develop the relationships and develop a follow-up with these families so that they can continue the learning. My organization is like a bridge. We're a bridge for organizations to come together and work together. We're a bridge for families to come together, and we're a bridge for families to get connected with organizations. And so up to this 5 years, we've hosted the single-day life camp where we will be developing throughout now is that we will start to have a week-long life camp where each day we'll develop them in a specific area by the use of our partners. We'll develop them in there. And so at the end of the day, these last 21 life camps we did for half days, the next level, next step, what we're doing now coming up is the full day. And then my ultimate vision is then we're going to take these groups, individual boys at 1 week, girls another week, and then take them to what we grew up with, those kind of, you know, out-of-town camps where you get to build into them, you know, at a remote location and really go from there. Because I truly believe that until you're exposed to things, it's very hard to make decisions on those things. And so, again, it wasn't – I'll go back and I'll say this because this is very profound to me. When I was in seventh grade, I remember in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, my mom woke us up, and she said, "Donovan, pack your stuff. We're leaving." We got in the car at 3 o'clock in the morning. We drove like 45 minutes away to a city. It was called Blackwood, New Jersey. And there was our second case where we went to a domestic violence shelter. So I lived there in this place where we had no idea we were going and didn't know anything. All I knew was mom and dad used to fight. All I knew was we were getting in the car and we were going somewhere. But when I got to that town, And I lived, it was the first time that I ever was part of a school where it was predominantly white, Caucasian. And it was very few black, you know, African Americans or black Americans there. And so I got a chance to learn something and see something that I never did before, which was another world. Now, granted, everything has a purpose, and there's a purpose to everything.
Yes.
See, the domestic violence and all the situation that brought about me getting up in the middle of the night and having to leave and go to this other place, it brought me new experiences. It brought me a new environment. It taught me some things that had I been in the former environment, I may not have learned. And so through those years that I was there, and we stayed in that town for 4 years after we moved out there, I got a chance to relate to people that I never would have been able to. I got a chance to learn things. I got a chance to get exposure. And then after 4 years, we moved back to Camden, New Jersey. Now, when I moved back to Camden, New Jersey, I had a different outlook on life. I had a different outlook. I can see people that was just like me before I left, but now I have a different perspective on life. Why? Because I've experienced something different. I was exposed to something different. But what gave me the release to do that? A situation where it was domestic violence. And so now, could I look at that situation between my mom and dad and look at it as a bad thing? Sure, somebody could. But it was that situation that birthed into me a new perspective, a new life, a new experience. And so then when I finished high school and I went to college, and I'm in college and I'm realizing, wait a minute, everything I've just been through prepared me for this life.
For this moment.
Growing up in the inner city, growing up in the middle suburbs, coming back into the inner city, and now here we are in college. And so I look at life from that standpoint, and that's what, in my foundation, I give these families an opportunity to experience. I share with them the different perspectives and to be able to empathize with them and to be able to let them know that I understand what it's like. I know what it's like. And so, for example, on one of my life camps, my girls' life camp, I had 280 girls ages 9 to 16 from 118 different schools at the life camp, because at the end of the day, every child is at risk if they don't have a full wraparound development of support. And so that's what I do at these life camps. The experience, you know, it has everything to do with building them up, making sure that the learning, the teaching is something that they can apply, but then also building with them the infrastructure that's needed for them to live life. For example, it was the last year we had a life camp for the girls' life camp, and it was this girl, her name was Cynthia. She got up and she gave a testimony, and she said, "Mr. Darius, I came to the life camp 3 years ago, and the life camp is called Dare to Dream. It stands for Dignity, Achievement, Respect, and Empowerment." And everybody can find all this on my website, diamonddariusfoundation.com. You'll see the links for the landing pages of each event that we've done. And she said, when I first came, I was into drugs. She was 13 at the time. She got into drugs, you know, sampling with it. I was leaving school, and I was dabbling in sex. And she said, but when I came and I seen the love and I felt the love and they talked to me about how valuable I am and how unique I am. And then at the end of the day, at the end of that life camp, I stood on a Jaguar's field with all of them. And I had them spell the word dare like a marching band, 280 girls spelling the word dare. And I had a pledge in my hand. It was called the Dare to Dream Pledge. And that pledge had everything to do with talking about I'm beautiful, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, I protect my mind, I protect my body. And I said it, and they said it with me. It was as if it was a Jaguars game and 80,000 people in the stadium. These 280 girls declaring who they are and what they're going to be and how valuable they are. She said, it was when I said that, and when I stood out there and I felt the experience of people believing in me, I started to believe in myself. And she said, so here I am now. I came back. Every year I came back. And she said, now I'm getting A's and B's. Now I don't do what I used to do, all because of the impact of somebody believing in me and pouring into me. And so, again, it's when you hear those type of stories It's when you're a part of that type of change. It's when you're walking in your purpose, when you're walking with peace, you know, when you're focusing on, okay, I'm making an impact and I'm leaving a legacy. I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm experiencing life one day at a time.
Awesome. Yeah. I normally try to open up the lines to try and hear from my listening audience. If you have a question or comment for Donovan, you can press 1 and I'll put you in queue. If you have a question or comment for Donovan Darius. Donovan, tell us about your book.
Man, so I think everybody has a book inside of them because everybody has an experience. And we're created to leave a legacy and, you know, to impact not just this generation, but the next one. And so I've known that. And so at the end of 2016, I said, I'm not going into 2017 without doing it. And so in a matter of 5 days, I became focused. And in 5 days, Dr. Bell, I wrote my book. And it's called Next Level Motivation, Principle for Living Life to the Fullness. And so in this book, I start out by teaching people about knowing their value. And then I share with them about life as a journey. And in another chapter, I let them know that you're designed for greatness. And in another chapter, let them know that everything has a purpose. I share with them about believing in themselves, about living life from their vision, and understanding that everything starts in your mind. And then the last chapter, I talk about enjoying your journey and leaving a legacy. And so this book was created with the mindset of helping individuals believe in themselves, live life from the inside out so that they can see life the way it was supposed to be seen and they can do in those things that they were created to do.
Wow, that is powerful. This has just been such an exciting show. We always run out of time, and especially we have powerful individuals such as yourself. But to wrap up and sum up, what would you like to leave with the listening audience? And please give your contact information again, your website.
Yeah, sure. Well, I just want everybody to know, as we said tonight, I am just one piece of the puzzle. You're the other piece. Together we can do amazing things together. We've all been through life, and life is happening. Understand that life is not happening to you. Life is happening for you. And as we understand that, we can walk through this life, and great things will continue to happen just one day at a time, one decision at a time. People can contact me. Again, my website, Foundation, is DonovanDariusFoundation.com. There's contact information on there. And then also every Tuesday, like today from 7 to 8, I do a motivational forum. It's called Donovan Darius Motivational Forum. To date, I've hosted 35 of them where I give I talk about motivational stories and then just kind of share principles for life, a little bit as we talked about tonight. And so at the end of the day, it's one of those things where I believe in you and I want to help you believe in you. And as we get connected and stay connected, all the great things can happen. And so it's been a pleasure for me to be a part of this forum and this show, Dr. Val and Cheryl. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to be a part of it.
Yeah, I am super excited. Shirley, you have any final questions for Donovan?
Where can I get your book?
That's my question. Right now, I'm actually finalizing. I'm finalizing. It was just going through the editing phase, and so I'm actually.
Okay.
I decided to actually put out several chapters individually, and it should be done, I would say, probably in the next couple of weeks. I'll make sure I got Dr. Val's information, and I'll make sure that we, you know, I get you that information as well.
Thank you. And
yeah,
I want to thank you for sharing those nuggets with so many of our listening audience that are probably holding on to a book within them. And the fact that you got focused and you wrote yours in 5 days, that's encouraging. And even to myself, because I'm a published author as well, and I have more books in me that I've been working on, but to hear that you took and said, this is it, I'm going to do it, and I'm doing it now. In 5 days, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. I want to remind everyone that the legacy you leave behind today is the life you leave today. Whatever you're living today is your legacy. So let's make sure that we live it with integrity. That means being the message that you bring. Who you are should reflect your actions, your charisma, your tone, your voice, what you put out in that atmosphere. Make sure you're walking in integrity. And it's going to be hard, but you got to have courage. Regardless of what it looks like, feels like, acts like, regardless of what the world brings on your shoulders, you got the courage. Donovan has showed and you through his speech tonight about how it took courage to do what he's done and make the accomplishments that he's made despite the adversities, the domestic violence, the moving around. You know, some people say, I can't make it because this happened or that happened. It takes courage. It's a fight for territory. It's always going to be hard. But you have to make sure that you follow through and do it all in love. Love is loving yourself in spite of, even when you feel that nobody is loving you back. And take ownership of where you are right now, because, see, only you can change and cause that shift in your life right now. Only you can do it. So take ownership. Yeah, own your past so that you can forge forward into your future, because, see, you can change that. It's going to take courage, but you can do it. And value yourself as an individual. You are worth the fight. You're worth the battle because you're still here. God has need of you, and we need you to be that light. So value who you are and embrace the journey ahead. It's going to be a great one. It's going to be an awesome one. Just embrace it, celebrate, because that's what legacy is all about. And I promise you, everything is going to be okay. I promise you that tomorrow will always look better because you woke up, you got up. I promise you, if you keep moving forward, we're all one person away from a breakthrough. And once we start walking in that purpose, defining what, that why, that reason that we have to move forward, that's going to make this journey a whole lot better. Why? Because you'll be walking in purpose. And when you're in alignment with the assignment that God has for your life, everything will come to you, just like it came to Darius. The world started begging for what he had. He had a talent. He had a gift. And the world begged for it. And he was able to go through 10 years with the NFL and 9 years with the Jaguars, and he's a speaker, an author, and a life coach. Because he stayed focused, he kept the faith, and he had the courage to endure. Thank you so much, Darius, for sharing your story, for tuning in to another Hot Topics from the Soul. And those of you that have enjoyed it, you can go to the website and download it and forward it to a family and your friends to encourage them, because success leaves clues. And we have a successful young man that has shared his story and he shared his life with you. And I thank you once again, Darius, for tuning in and joining us for Hot Topics from the Soul.
And thank you as well.
All right. Good night, Shirley. Good night, Darius.
Good
and
night.
Hope to see you real soon. Actually, Darius, I'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks, I think.
Yes. Yes, you will. I look forward to it.
At the event.
Yes, ma'am.
Peace and blessings to you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.